You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have in studio with me Minnesota State Representative for District 54B, Tony Juergens. Representative Juergens, it's great to have you back.
Thanks, Mike. Great to be back again.
When we've been sitting and discussing things since about January, and now we're looking at the end of the session coming up at the end of this month, and it's been kind of a bit of activity up at the state capitol now with different things being put together. You're finishing up all the bonding information and putting things together to present to the governor for signature. I would like to start with a couple of things that we talked about as we're getting ready for this show. You have information on an omnibus liquor bill.
Right.
What's going on there?
So we the House passed an omnibus liquor bill this week, and that is, liquor falls within the Commerce Committee, liquor provisions, and there are just some common sense things that need to be done with Minnesota's liquor laws. But it's hard to get that through, and especially some of the chairs in the Senate that just don't want to touch these issues for one reason or another. So the fact that we passed a standalone liquor omnibus bill is kind of big news. I don't think it's really been done in, I'm not sure how long, 5 years for sure. And I believe the last time we did it, the major piece of legislation that came out of that one was the Sunday sales back in 2017 when we allowed.
It's been that long already.
It has been. I believe it was 2017 that we passed that.
Wow.
In my first session, or maybe 2018. I think it was my first session when I first came in. And so that was something that took many years to get done.
Mm-hmm.
And the groundswell of the public was just increased year after year, where it got to the point where we were able to get that passed. Now this liquor bill, there are some things that people have also been wanting for a long time that are not in this bill. For example, many people would like to see beer and wine expanded in convenience stores and grocery stores.
Right. I know that's a big issue. Yeah.
And now you can get 3-2 beverages in a liquor store. They would like to get rid of the 3-2 and just be able to sell beer and wine. That's not in the bill. Some of the other things that are in there, we hear a lot about the growlers for the brew pubs.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did expand the limit. So the way it is right now, any brewer that brews more than 20,000 barrels of its own brand was prevented then from selling in growlers. And that's a pretty low bar. So a lot of the breweries that hit that 20,000 barrel limit then were out of the market of being able to sell growlers. So what this bill does is it raises it to 150,000 barrels, which is quite a jump. And that should help a lot of the the Lift Bridge and Castle Danger and some of those brew pubs or microbreweries around the state of Minnesota. So that was something that was in there. Now there's something, and I don't want to get too into the details because I'm not overly familiar with the Coleman Act in Minnesota. What that does is it prohibits manufacturers from selling to specific wholesalers in the state of Minnesota. So in other words, they would have to sell, if they sell to one wholesaler, they would have to sell to any wholesaler.
Okay.
And there's a lawsuit out of Florida where a company is challenging that because they want to have exclusive deals with certain wholesalers. And so what's in this bill, the Coleman Act does not include spirits that are manufactured in Minnesota or offered only for sale in Minnesota. And so what this bill does is it expands the law. It prohibits the Minnesota manufacturers from entering into exclusive contracts. So kind of the same deal. They would be able to, it would be open to any wholesaler throughout the state. So you can't just, without this type of protection, the service is likely to go down. The availability of many spirits is likely to go down. The price is likely to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is something that is, I think, good for consumers.
Okay.
Now, there's also a part of this bill that, in concept, it's not too bad. It creates a Liquor Regulation Advisory Council, which is a 12-member council appointed by the governor, and it would be composed of people within the industry, retailers, wholesalers, and manufacturers. What's missing from that, in my mind, is the customers. The you know, people that are really affected by this from the customer standpoint. I would like to see them more represented on that commission. And then the role of that commission then would be to make recommendations to the legislature.
Right.
We have that now with other things, like there's a workers' comp advisory council. Mm-hmm. So they address all the workers' comp issues, and they come back to the legislature then with a recommendation.
Right.
So that's what this liquor regulation advisory council would also be tasked with doing.
All right. And just want to briefly jump back a little bit. You mentioned the idea of discontinuing 3-2 beer in Minnesota. It's my understanding that Minnesota is one of the few, if not only
the only state
that still
yeah.
requires that or has a law for that. So what does it take to change that? I mean, I know you've got a lot of people, you said, that are, you know, chairs and things not wanting to move it, but what does it take to actually get them off their perch?
Well, this omnibus bill would have been a good place to address
right.
that, and it's not
right.
in there. But yeah, you're right. Minnesota, my understanding is that Minnesota is the last holdout for 3-2 beer. You know, I grew up with 3-2 beer. I grew up in South Dakota, and you only had to be 18 to drink 3-2 beer, and then 21 for hard liquor and
regular,
full strength or strong beer. So I mean, when I was 18, that was a common thing. You could the 3-2 beer. It's become less and less common throughout the country as states do away with it. I think what's happening is manufacturers are, because there's such a small market for it, many manufacturers are stopping production of 3-2
right.
beer,
sure,
which makes it more difficult for grocery stores and convenience stores to even get a hold of it
right.
to sell. So, yeah, that's something that I think, in my opinion, we should just be able to get rid of 3-2 beer.
And I can't imagine that there are a lot of producers, maybe some of the big ones like Anheuser-Busch or Miller or something like that, that even produce it anymore.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, it's a I think, a challenge. And there are also, for some of the charitable organizations that might sell beer at a festival or ball games, things like that, there are even limits on that related to them getting a short-term or temporary liquor license for a city festival, for example.
Right.
And using 3-2 beer at some events and the strong beer at other events, and how they have to plan accordingly, and it's sometimes tricky for them to know, well, should we use our 3-2 beer for this one, or should we use strong beer for this one?
And so streamlining the process and the requirements would go a long way to help the consumer in the long run, I would say.
Right. So one other thing that's in there too, and this is something that the industry was asking for, is that 17-year-olds can now serve alcohol. They can't 10 bar,
right?
But a 17-year-old then server could deliver
bring it to the table.
Take it to the table. And
sure.
And right now, restaurants are having such a difficult time hiring people that they want to be able to have as many exceptions as they can. So that was in this bill as well. And a number of other things that were in this. There's some taxing issues with people that ship wine directly to customers in the state of Minnesota, and the taxes that they were avoiding before, that now they'll have to pay those taxes as well. So a few things like that. And then also in the bill, and this is something more common that has been thrown into commerce bills, even if we didn't have a specific liquor omnibus bill. But cities across the state will have requests for the ability to, like some of these festivals that I'm talking about, to be able to issue a temporary liquor license to a stadium for a baseball tournament or something like that.
Right.
And so there were a number of those provisions in this bill as well for Wilmer, Sauk Rapids, St. Paul, things like that.
Okay. And dovetailing nicely with that, you mentioned sports, is that the House of Representatives did pass a sport wagering bill.
Yes.
Kind of a poor segue there, I suppose. But what's the latest on that whole issue?
Well, I don't want to get into too many details about the bill itself. It did pass off of the House floor. But the reason I don't really want to get into details on the bill is because there's zero chance that this bill, as it stands, will become law.
Okay.
But conceptually, this is a topic that we've talked about before, and something that I hear a lot about. I mean, one of the most popular topics that I hear from people is, when is Minnesota going to allow sports wagering? Well, back in 2018, the Supreme Court ruled that states could allow for sports gambling in their states if they chose to. And since then, many states, I think about half of the states, have already legalized sports gambling. Every state around us and Canada allows it right now. So both Dakotas, Iowa, and Wisconsin already has sports gambling. Minnesota is kind of an island that doesn't allow it yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so what this bill does is it does legalize it. It's going nowhere in the Senate, from what I'm told, this specific bill. Now, it's still possible here. We're coming into the last week, full week of session. Deals can get made. Nothing is ever dead in St. Paul. I think we've talked about that before. And so even though this specific bill isn't moving anywhere in the Senate, so there will be no companion to this, the bill that was passed in the House, the topic could still come up. It could be part of a larger deal as negotiations are being made on other bills that this could get resurrected and put in. Probably not in this specific format, but in some format.
Okay.
Now, some of the issues that I have with this bill, first of all, I don't think I will ever place a wager on a sports game. I've never been to Diamond Joe's in Iowa. I know a lot of people go down there and place their bets. It's just not something that I intend to do.
Right.
But I know a lot of people that want this option, and so I'm in favor of it. Eventually, I think they will get this. Some of the issues with this specific bill, for example, there would be a 10% tax on the net gain that that those that are holding the wagers would pay. I think it should be a smaller percentage, but on the top end. I think that it should be on the revenue coming in before expenses, not after expenses.
Okay.
I think that would be just a cleaner way to do it. You could set the numbers up so that the actual revenue into the state could be about the same, but I just think it would be cleaner to have that on the top end instead of on the net profits like this bill has. This bill would be 100% done through the Indian Gaming. There would be 11 licenses. Each of the Native American reservations in the state of Minnesota would each have access or the option of having a license. And then they would partner with somebody like a Bally's or somebody that has experience doing this. But it would all go through the casinos or through the Indian tribes. Some people would like to see the racetracks, so Shakopee and the what's the harness racing in
the Aces.
Aces, yeah, running Aces, to have them be available too.
Right.
That wasn't in the bill that came through the House. If it goes through the Senate has said that they will only consider it if those two are also included. So those are the types of details that, even though this bill passed out of the House, that before anything would end up on the governor's desk, there's a lot of details that would still need to be worked out of.
Right. And like you say, nothing's really ever dead in St. Paul, but without the Senate on board to get something going, it's not likely to get anywhere in this session.
Right.
What I'd like to do for the last few minutes that we have available is bring the information down to Hastings now.
Yes.
There's been that push to finance renovations at the Veterans Home.
Yes.
And you have some update information for that.
Yeah, I've had several telephone conversations in the last day or two on that. Again, the request for the Hastings Veterans Home would be to totally replace what's out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more expensive than some of the the projects that we've had to fund new veterans homes, because this would include demolition. And also taking into consideration, we've got current veterans there, so the new construction would have to keep that in mind, because you can't displace them. You have to build anew before you can tear down the old. So taking all of that into consideration. But, you know, it's a just under $60 million request, and it's very unlikely that that will be fully funded in a bonding bill, not because people that are putting the bill together don't think it's a great project. They all believe in it. It's just a lot of money.
Right.
And there are over $5 billion in bonding requests around the state of Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And the bonding bill is going to be less than $2 billion, maybe more than $1 billion, somewhere in that ballpark. So we're having conversations about whether that project can be scaled, and it really can't to do it right. You kind of have to do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, even if you got funding for the planning and design, that impacts the federal money too. It puts that project into a different category that makes it less likely to get the federal money.
Okay.
So you kind of need to have the whole thing mm-hmm. funded in order to leverage that to get federal money to make this project move forward. So, you know, we're looking at different things. You know, with a budget surplus, we think that in addition to the bonding bill, which again, bonding is borrowing.
Right.
And that's what we refer to the bonding project, because it's borrowing money. However, projects could still be paid for with cash.
Right.
And so what I've been working on now the last several days is if we can't get the full $60 million in bonding, how much of it can we get? And then could we possibly, if there will be a cash bill of projects as well, could we get the remainder in a cash project in a cash bill?
Right. And that then also really makes it important for you to hear from your constituents about that, or if other people in surrounding districts get in touch with their representatives and the senator for the legislature anyway, to make that known that it is important that this gets done. Those veterans in that area have, you know, those veterans have paid their dues, shall we say, and they deserve a little bit better, I think.
And that's one of the things that I've been saying is hey, this isn't a project for Tony Juergens. I'm not gonna live there.
Right.
This is for the veterans, and we need to do what's best for them.
All right. So we're just about at the point we're going to wrap up, and we're going to be keeping tabs on that Veterans Home project. Hopefully you'll get like a last minute deal and we'll be able to put it together, because then there's federal funds tied to that also.
Yes. Yes.
In the meantime, we need to wrap up here, but I, as always, like to give you the opportunity to provide your contact information if your constituents have questions or concerns.
Absolutely. They can email rep.tony.juergens@house.mn or call 651-296-3135.
All right. I have had the honor of speaking with Representative for District 54B, Tony Juergens, for this segment of Community In-Depth. Representative Juergens, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mike.
You are tuned to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
In this ever-changing world, always remember that KDWA has been serving you since 1963, bringing you daily news, sports, weather, obituaries, and community events that you need to know. KDWA, AM 1460 and 97.7 FM, and online at kdwa.com. KDWA is your only daily media in the area, and we're here for you.